You're listening to The Cube Show on demand. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's The Cube Show.
It's that all born radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Cube Show. Glad you're with us.
NBA draft tonight. Big day in the world of sports. Talk some Major League Baseball today. Phil Savage going to join us at 7:40. Color commentator for Crimson Tide football that you hear in the fall right here on UM Sports. Vegas runner at 8:40. Also, we'll talk to our buddy Max Bonstetter about the NBA draft today at 9:40. So a pretty big show for you today. Looking forward to that. Also, I got to thinking, Arky, producer of the show, program director of UM Sports.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember a time when the NBA draft was a huge deal? And this is maybe something that I talk sometimes here about the world of sports that, you know, depending on how old you were, is how important things were to you. Like, they were more impressionable and made a bigger impression on you when you were a certain age. The NBA draft, to me, when I was younger, was a huge deal. Something I got really excited about. I wanted to see where certain guys were going to be. I mean, like, I'll never forget Anthony Hardaway ending up in Orlando with Shaq and just thinking about what a duo that was going to be and how incredible it was that Orlando, for the second consecutive year, was able to draft so high. But you wanted to see where, I mean, even back to Carmelo and LeBron, where those guys were going to end up. Was Kevin Garnett going to work out? Was Kobe Bryant going to work out? Because those were virtually unknowns. Now it seems like it's all just an unknown. All of it. Every bit of it. We can talk about De'Aaron Fox and Lonzo Ball, but is there anybody in this draft that you can look at that you would think, that's going to be a difference in the win column? And when Shaq got drafted by Orlando, that was a 15-20 game swing. Easy. Easy. If Kenyon Martin didn't get hurt when he's drafted by the Nets, I'm thinking that's a 10-12 game swing right off the jump. When Iverson's drafted out of Georgetown, that's a 15 game swing. I don't know if I see that in this draft. I don't know if I've seen that in the last few drafts. I mean, who's a guy that if he lands on your team, you're thinking, oh, yeah, here we go. Now we're headed in the right direction. Now we're in contention. We are a lock for the playoffs.
Well, there seems to be some consensus that Markelle Fultz is the closest player to being a superstar immediately and maybe a long-term type, transcendent type player in this draft. I personally like Josh Jackson a lot. I think he's really athletic. I think he's really, really fun to watch. I think he'd make a difference on the scoring and defensive side for whoever he goes to. But it's hard now because...
Is it combined with how the NBA is being built and how teams are being built?
It's combined, and that's where I was going to go. It's hard. If Markelle Fultz goes to Philadelphia, they could be a playoff team next year. And it's not just because of Markelle Fultz. Listen, they had Ben Simmons last year they didn't play. You know, and they got Jahlil Okafor. I mean, they got... Justice Winslow's. I mean, they've been drafting guys at this spot for seemingly forever. Maybe Philadelphia finally gets to a spot if they draft Markelle Fultz number one tonight. Maybe they get to a spot where they're able to get to the playoffs. So that would be a big swing, but not a big swing because he's on the team. It's more of a big swing. Listen, Ben Simmons did not play. It was last year's number one pick.
Yeah, it's weird to think about.
So, like,
if there's a team that could really, really turn things around this year, I mean, it looks like Philadelphia, if they do the right thing in this draft, could be that team.
And it's because Philadelphia basically has been purposefully tanking for 4 years.
But let's also consider that with Ben Simmons last year, there were a lot of people who no one questioned his ability and his talent, but a lot of people looked at his mentality and looked at what LSU was with him. What position is he going to play? He's built as a guy that should be a scorer in the league, but his game doesn't always reflect that. So what do you have in Ben Simmons if you're Philadelphia? I mean, that might be a bigger question that needs to be answered. Do you have a 6'10 point guard or a 6'9 point guard?
Yeah, I don't know what you got. Really, I don't think anybody knows what they got. Because Philadelphia, to get to the playoffs in the NBA or in the East, what you got to do? Go 500, basically. 500 will get you in the door. And Philadelphia, I mean, you're looking at their roster is terrible. Terrible, except for like guys like Joel Embiid. By the way, he's a big deal. People trying to stay healthy. Jahlil Okafor, Ben Simmons, and now you could possibly add Markelle Fultz. That's a team that gets to the playoffs next year. If they stop purposefully tanking.
Right.
Or if they don't start trading some of these pieces off. And you got injury issues, too, with a couple of these players that you just don't know. You just don't know. But that's a team loaded and talented enough to be able to make the playoffs. And that's not because of Markelle Fultz being added. It's because of they've tanked and accrued first-round talents for a while. I mean, to make a big swing, I mean, how many more wins are you going to get for Boston who thanks to a trade from Brooklyn, got this number three pick? Or number one, and then now traded to number three? I mean, are you going to go from, like, 51 wins to, like, 61 wins? No, but you may be able to get to 55, depending on what happens with Cleveland, and maybe back to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, there's not a lot of jumping like that because of, as you alluded to, the way teams are trying to build in the NBA, and a lot of people, I think, are afraid of Golden State and are afraid of Cleveland and LeBron James, especially in the East, and they kind of just want to try to build, not for this year, try to make a run, because there's not a lot of teams suited for this year out of teams like the East, like Philadelphia, to make a run this year at the East.
To be smart, in my opinion, you're very smart right now, right this second in the NBA, if you are trying to build a nucleus for a team that could be very, very good in 3 to 5 years and have guys that have played together, guys that want to stay together, guys that came up together and understand each other. And part of it is just going to be and then hoping for the best, hoping that you don't have a guy that wants to go be a part of a super team or go – someone who's teamed up with three or four other all-stars. You have role players. You have individuals that understand their role off the bench and understand what they are scheduled to do in a certain offense, and it operates that way. I think you're intelligent if you go try to build that way. You're not going to – that's kind of why I asked the question, because I mean, when Carmelo got drafted, we thought right away, that guy's going to come in and score 20, 23 points a game in the NBA. He's going to help teams win games immediately. I don't know if that guy is in this draft, and then on top of that, if the NBA is even built to allow a team to go win 15, 20 more games because they've made an addition through the draft.
Look, if Sacramento gets De'Aaron Fox, they're not going to change a lot. You mean they can win 5 to 10 more games, but again, you're also talking about teams that tank so much at the end of the season, especially. It's hard not to be able to get to that point.
Sure.
So the lottery, and that's why I've always hated the way the draft lottery is and the way they just sort of weight the picks as far as, you know, the very worst record has the very best chance at getting that pick. I'm not a huge fan of that because teams purposefully try and lose, and I really don't like that aspect.
I think Adam Silver will address that. He's mentioned it too many times. He's talked about it too many times. I think that's going to go away. He talks about trying to come up with some sort of solution to prevent tanking, but I just don't know what you can do. I don't know what you can relegate that a coach or a player or a roster or an owner has to do or has to be to prevent that from happening. It's not a real thing.
Listen, I think it's simple. I think you just don't guarantee
the – slot the draft.
You could slot the draft, but that's also, you know, based on worst record is what I assume they would want to do. But I would say this. I don't know why people don't use my idea, which is you can be one of – if you don't make the playoffs, you're in the lottery. And in the lottery, then those teams are just going to be chosen at random for the number 1 through 14
Then maybe pick. Do you need to up the – this is pathetic that I even have to say this, but do you need to up the reward for just making the playoffs?
No. You don't. Like,
well, then there's teams on the fringe that are going to do what you're trying to get them not to do, and they're going to tank out of the playoffs just to, so they can have a top 10 pick.
But, yeah, but if you're a team that doesn't make the playoffs, you're one of the bottom 14 teams. So if you miss it by 5 games, in my system, you would be the same missing it by, like, 25 games. So you basically just do the giant bingo rotator thing, or if you want to do the Georgia lottery pulling it out of the – pulling it out of the ping pong
balls on the little suction machine.
Yeah, whatever that thing is called. I really should try to look that up because I've tried to think of that twice this year. Can't think of what the machine's called. But just grab the ping pong at random and be like, and the number one pick this year goes to, oh, look at that, the Philadelphia 76ers. And sometimes it may work out that you get the number one pick. Like, it's different. Like, in the NFL, it at least goes worst record to best record of those who didn't make the playoffs. And so you could tank,
sure,
but it's not as if you got 7 or 8 teams purposely tanking to try to get the best chance to get that pick. I think if you miss the playoffs by 1 game, give the same amount of chances if you miss the playoffs by 21 games. Okay. That way, if nothing else, encourage you to keep playing. You may want to, you know, tank the last week of the season to make sure you don't get into the playoffs unless you think you're going to get there. Or you may just be bad. You may just build a bad team like Philadelphia has been doing. You know, you just may be a bad team like Brooklyn is. You know, so you're going to get a spot anyway. But it doesn't give you an incentive to sit Jeremy Lin the last week of the season. He's like one of only 2 players you got. Like, the last couple of games of the season, they didn't even play him. You're like, what's the point? We're paying these guys millions of dollars not to play. If I'm an owner, I'd be so ticked off. I do not want to pay a guy that's not playing, not because of injury, just because we're trying to get the best number, the highest number of ping pong balls.
All right, let's get to 10 After Tweets, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Jason Thomas at @Arizona_J tweets in at Cube Show. The Markelle Fultz pick reminds me of the Bears and Mitch Trubisky had 1 year of tape with a sucky record. And the one-year tape thing is kind of the norm. You're not going to get much more tape on many guys that are being discussed as the number one pick.
Here's what annoys me the most about things like this. It's not necessarily Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz has said, when Boston had the pick, I hope Boston drafts me. I think yesterday he said, I hope Philadelphia drafts me because they got the number one pick. Of course, you want to be the number one pick. It'd be awesome. You get more money.
It would also be nice to go to a team like Boston who just made the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure, and I tell you, I'm not so convinced that Philadelphia picked Markelle Fultz and got Ben Simmons to play and Jahlil Okafor and got all these guys on the court reasonably at the same time, that this team couldn't be a top 5 Eastern Conference team if trying and healthy next year. It's not that difficult.
So your guy, Phil Jackson, making news again yesterday with some comments about Kristaps Porzingis. At Every Day Should Be Saturday tweets, oh, now it's not funny that Phil Jackson does acid. Also, Anthony Slater at Anthony V. Slater tweets, if Phil trades Porzingis for missing an exit interview, I'm pretty sure no Nick will show up to exit interviews next year.
Well, yeah, I would feel very confident to do the same thing.
Frank Isola at F-Isola NYDN tweets, Phil Jackson, quote, as much as we love this guy, Kristaps, we have to do what's best for the club.
Here's what's best for the club. Keeping the youngest phenom you got on the team, the greatest player that you have on the team. He's better than Carmelo right now.
Yeah.
And plus, he's your future. And you're only paying, like, I think, $4.5 million, $5 million for him. Doing what's best for the team. Listen, I told you when this happened, this would be a bad hire for the Knicks. Unless he's coaching.
What was the last good hire the Knicks made?
Carmelo. Because he did, let's be fair to Carmelo a little bit. He did get this team in the playoffs a couple of seasons.
Carmelo's good
at
what he does.
It also helped with Tyson Chandler had him, too, and he was Defensive Player of the Year.
Carmelo's good at what he does, scoring points and making babies. Other than that, what else do you expect him to do, really?
Cost a lot, apparently.
Well, most every NBA player costs a pretty penny. Or the frog is leaving the studio.
Oh. Yeah, it's so wet in here for the second. Is that the same frog?
No, it's a different one. He's much smaller than yesterday.
No, not the same frog as yesterday. Oh, yeah, it's the same frog I saw earlier. This is back-to-back days. We've had frogs in the studio. How weird is that?
The vertical at the vertical.
Should you have frogs in studio?
Probably not.
Get them on the mic.
At the vertical tweets, Knicks have made calls about Kristaps Porzingis, aiming for a top four pick to get Josh Jackson. Well, at least you like Josh Jackson, you said.
Not in pure trade for Kristaps Porzingis. Jeez. You know,
did you just step on that frog?
Del Jackson's yelling it.
Not hopefully.
Well, you'll be able to see him if he stepped on him. Dale Jackson.
He stepped right where he was, so I guess he got out of there.
Let me just say this. I'm so over Phil Jackson, and I've been over him for a while. I can't believe you know what James Dolan's basically paying Phil Jackson to do? It's to take the heat off on how crappy of an owner James Dolan is. Now, all of a sudden, Phil Jackson gets all that. Listen, he's the one that's like, does Carmelo want to be here? Whatever, doesn't matter. Maybe we don't need him. Maybe he should just go somewhere else. Phil Jackson's also like calling LeBron James, his group of friends, a posse and getting in trouble. He's basically saying to James Dolan, I got you. All the heat's going to go on me.
2017 has not been great to Phil Jackson. Not his best year.
Do you think he's sabotaging the Knicks? I think he's sabotaging the Knicks so he could go back with Jeannie Buss in L.A.
When you say go back with, like, date again?
Yeah, that's what I think he's wanting.
Okay.
I think they want him back in L.A.
Because I don't know why they would want him to have anything to do with actual basketball operations based on what he's been doing.
It's like, first, I'll go back with you, but you got to destroy the team you're with.
You would think that they would hook him up with, like, the Warriors or the Spurs.
Well, they ain't hiring that guy. Let's destroy the one team that you're never going to meet in any type of significant game.
Thought about you yesterday, Arky, when I saw this tweet.
Thanks, man.
Mashable at Mashable tweets. The rainbow armpit hair trend has finally arrived.
Hooray!
There it is, right there. Not on dudes either.
That pit's so hot. That armpit is so hot. You ever seen a girl and like said, man, I like to see those pits?
Not one single time in my life. We were talking on...
That can't be a real trend.
Well, you and I were talking off air, I guess, last week, and I won't be able to find it, mainly because I don't want to find it. Someone retweets into my timeline somehow, and I think I unfollowed the person who it was. I can't remember who it was. There's a Twitter account devoted to females with armpit hair.
Oh, good.
And I scrolled down and showed you on the account. It's just girls showing off their armpit hair. There's not many things in life that I need less than that.
Yeah, far be it from calling me a prude, but that's gross.
I just don't have a place for it, really, in my brain.
No.
Now, we're taking it to another level by having girls with armpit hair and dyeing it rainbow colors.
Well, I mean, you gotta flaunt it, you know.
I guess.
Here's the worst part about all of that. If that encourages one lady to grow armpit hair, it has been a disservice to this country.
Maybe I need to open the article and read it.
No, because it's only going to be more pictures of ladies with armpit hair. Okay. It's too early for that. It's just too early for breakfast. Not everything.
It's never too early for breakfast.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe everything that these people try to put on the internet to trend? Like when
No.
Remember when the article came out a couple weeks ago that boys were going to wear rompers?
I do remember that.
That's not really going to become a trend, is it?
St. Louis-based hairstylist Caitlin Ford, or Caitlin Ford Hair on Instagram.
Don't follow that.
Don't check that one out. Apparently has upped the ante on the unicorn hair trend. Oh, that's what that was. I thought people were just dyeing their hair different colors. My client wanted something fun she could show off while she was out celebrating St. Louis Pride Fest this weekend. So she came up with the perfect idea and dyed her client's armpit hair into a delightful, colorful rainbow. By the way, just because one person did this, I'm not going to say call it a trend.
Not a trend. Don't say trend. I have no problems with the gay pride of St. Louis. Would you say St. Louis or San Francisco?
What was St. Louis.
I have no problems with St. Louis gay pride. Awesome. Enjoy it. Leave the armpits. Like, I'm not even saying go natural. I'm just saying, take care of that. Listen, I would be the worst girl ever. You kidding me? You can barely get me to shave my face every 3 days, much less like have to shave my legs and my armpits and any mustache I would may have. Ugh. It sucks being a girl, man.
Wow.
Do you know when I realized how bad it was being a girl?
I don't know. Tell us about your experience as a girl, Arky.
First year I went to prom. I went to prom, and then that's the first time I really sort of let it melt in my brain that it sucks being a girl, man. Like, as far as all the prep work you have to do for yourself, I mean, makeup, then hair, dress, all the fittings, nails done. All I had to do was rent a tux and show up showered.
Yep.
That's all I had to do. That's a 25-minute deal for me. I'm good.
College Football Talk tweets 14 hours ago, Vince Dooley says he would not have fired Mark Richt at Georgia.
Well, I guess it wasn't up to him, apparently.
Jason Thomas tweets back in at Cube Show, if I'm Philadelphia, I'm trading that number one pick and then some for Porzingis.
Listen, if you want Kristaps Porzingis, here's what the Knicks should do. Just contract the team. Just, you're not even trying anymore.
Well, this is good news for you because maybe the Knicks can get involved here. Brad Turner tweets, Nick Young just declined his option with the Lakers to become a free agent, per source.
Is that Swaggy P?
Yeah.
Nick would take that guy, actually.
Yes. He feels like a perfect fit for what they're attempting to do, which is a giant question mark.
Do you ever hate rooting for a team because of an individual on it or have issues with it? Because I felt that way with Greg Hardy was on the Cowboys. It's like, man, I really hate that he's on the team. Like, I really
on your team or just on any team?
No, my team. I really hated it that the Cowboys wanted him. If Nick Young came to the Knicks, I would really hate to try to root for the
Steelers
Knicks.
The Steelers signed Zach Mettenberger last year. That wasn't something I could get on board with.
But he wasn't going to be a contributor, really.
That's true. At least, God, we hope not.
Nick Young's going to play a lot for the Knicks if he goes there.
Yeah, basically because there's no one else.
There's like two guys I hate in the NBA. One of them is Nick Young.
I would feel that way if I were you about Derrick Rose. And I don't have anything personal against Derrick Rose, but if someone put that guy on my team just because I knew he was going to get injured and not be able to finish the season, it would frustrate me.
Hey, he scored points.
In a game.
Many games.
All right, we'll get to a break. Back with the early morning audible next. Welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Every morning, we like to let you know how sports sounded the night before. It's the early morning audible.
Time for the Cube Show early morning audible.
Chubb's going to town! Touchdown! I think, yeah! Chubby time, baby!
Grab on, get out the right bread and mustard! It is grand salami time!
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35!
Yes!
He will score!
Yeah, yeah! He's got a touchdown! Kansas City!
Oh, yeah, Mr. Cole Kublik. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw this. I think I do know that you saw this, to be fair. The Atlanta baseball Braves keep on keeping on. walk-off style. Hit me, Matt Kemp.
The 1-0 pitch. Hit along the right field line. Chasing it is Kemp. Back to the wall he goes. This ball is gone. Into the seats. A one-handed inside-out swing. Kemp was due, and Kemp does it. That shows you how strong that man is. A one-handed swing in the lower chop house section. He is being mobbed at home plate, and he should be. Well, we couldn't get a win for Newcomb, but we get a win for the Braves. Have to go to the 11th to do it, but Matt Kemp, with his first hit of the night, hits his 12th homer, drives in his 34th run, and will send us home happy.
That's right. 5-3 was the final.
Send us home happy.
And he did. That was what you heard last night on the ump in the 11th inning. The Braves beat San Francisco 5-3. That was their 12th win in the last at-bat for the Braves. That's the most of any team in baseball. So the Braves are exciting to watch even when it comes to late this team. As we keep telling you this year, we talked to Kevin McAlpin about it. They're not boring, and they're not nearly as bad as we were seeing them last year. They are definitely, definitely improving. Hey, Cole, I just wanted to play this one for fun because it's been a while since we heard a great call from Toronto. But Darwin Barney's two-run home run in the top of the first yesterday gave us our guy back.
Did a two-pitch hit deep to left field. That's heading down into the corner. It's hooking. It is up and... there she goes. A two-run home run for Darwin Barney. And the Blue Jays soar out in front 6-0 here in Arlington, Texas, as Barney hits his second home run of the year.
That's right.
There she goes.
That's right. Darwin Barney, who is a Major League Baseball player. Did not know the name until yesterday when I saw this highlight. You guys don't care if Toronto wins or loses. But I'll tell you who you do care about. And we care about here is the New York Yankees winning, Cole.
Now the 2-2 to Holiday. Swung on and hit in the air to right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Matt Holiday hits it to right field about 12 rows back in the right field grandstand. Happy Holiday.
Oh, happy, happy Holiday. Should you be allowed to say that in June? What's the holiday? That it was summer yesterday? That it was the first day of summer?
Yeah.
Okay. Happy summer solstice. Yankees beat the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim finally 8-4. That snaps their, I think their 8-game losing streak they had. Good. That was just not fun. Not fun to watch. But the Yankees all winners. And thanks to Salvador Perez, Boston Red Sox are losers.
Another 3-2. A blast to left field. Did he get it? He did! Salvador Perez with his first Major League Grand Slam.
Yeah, buddy. That means Kansas City wins. That was in the bottom of the eighth. Kansas City will beat Boston 6-4, and I'm okay with that. Also, the sadness of a loss.
In the lap, Hosmer is at first. They lose the DH. Merrifield moved to right. Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball center field. Kane coming in. He's there waiting. And he makes the catch. And the Red Sox suffer one of their toughest defeats of the season as the bullpen gives up 4 runs in the 8th inning. And they fall to the Kansas City Royals in the rubber game of the series. Kansas City winning it 6-4.
Suck it. That's all I can say. The Dodgers, by the way, Cole, it doesn't matter what they did yesterday. I mean, they're playing great baseball out in the West. But what does matter is that Yasiel Puig is back in the news because he got salty again. Yasiel Puig gets a 3-run home run in the bottom of the 4th that gives the Dodgers a 5-1 lead at the time. But what's important is that Yasiel Puig did what Yasiel Puig likes to do. He pimped it.
As Pill delivers on 3-1.
Fly ball to left field. Yasiel Puig has hit a 3-run home run. Dodgers lead it 5-1.
Yeah, and that's just the call itself, Mr. Kubik. The controversy, of course, comes from Yasiel Puig doing what we've become accustomed to that guy doing. So Yasiel Puig hits the home run, does a little bit of admiration of what he did, you know, staring at the home run as it goes off his bat. And Wilmer Flores for the Mets got a little talkative with Yasiel Puig, and I understand because it wasn't as if he hit it 500 feet. He hit it about 7 to 10 rows back, which is good. But he pimped it. He went around the bases. I think the time was like 31 seconds or
31
something.
31 and a half seconds. Yeah.
31 seconds to get around the bases. Cole,
would it bother you more if a guy took a long time to get around the bases or bat flip or stand and watch?
See, I feel like the initial bat flip would tick me off more.
I mean, did you see what Puig did right after he hit this home run? I mean, he stood there for a good 2 seconds and then took another very slow 4 or 5 steps before beginning his, I don't even know if it was a jog, his trot around the bases. I don't really care about being slow around the bases, but the kind of standing there and watching it, that's what's going to allow me to put one in your hip on the next at-bat.
Now, this is old-school baseball rules, but do you get mad as the old-school baseball guy? Does Cole Kubelik? Do you
want
to pluck him next time?
Yeah, I'd hit him, but it doesn't make me mad. You deserve it.
It does make you mad. You're going to plunk a guy.
No, it's just kind of you're going to show us up? I'll show you up. Right in the ribs.
I personally love bat flips, and I love trots, and I love stare downs.
Oh, yeah, because I was never a pitcher, and I was a power hitter, so I enjoy guys admiring their home runs, but I'm also okay with a pitcher that wants to drill them the next time up. But the old adage really should be, don't give up home runs.
Just like if the pitcher strikes you out, he's allowed to sort of pump his fist, and I've seen them strike guys out after an inning in small situations and just walk off just sort of like shaking their arms like, yeah, crush that guy, out.
They should stay there for like a 3 count before they walk off.
Just stare him down, but like walk off.
Like a pitcher statue challenge. that feels fair.
I think if you strike me out, you can sort of give me the whole like, I got you, punk.
Should they be able to point him down? It's like, shoot a.
Or be like, point to him and point to the other guy. Like, you go there. You sit down.
I think the greatest thing ever might be if someone just started doing Shooter McGavin and everybody they struck out. Kenny Powers just shoot him down.
Would you immediately
shooter?
Would you immediately root for that guy forever?
Yes, 100%. You would need to be pretty good though.
If Craig Kimbrell came out in like the 8th or 9th inning, and that's what he did every time he struck somebody out, which he does a lot of, you would be like, I'm okay with him, even though he's a former Braves.
Or if he pulled out of his holster and then put it back in.
After every single one.
After every strikeout.
Yeah. What about after every strike? Like, what if he blows it past you? Like, if it's 101.
Wow.
Like, if Aroldis Chapman comes up there and throws, like, 101, and you're like, oh, hey.
Yeah, I think we've come on to something new here. I want to see all new pitcher celebrations. So if somebody throws a fastball by somebody, I want him to do, like, the fireman hose. Like, where he's holding the hose and he has to pull the big lever back, and he's like,
all right,
squirting the water on him.
Can you make some calls to people? Like, do you know pitchers?
Or somebody looks like they have a match and they like light it on their cleat and they go, and then they throw the match. Yeah, this is what we need.
All right,
we need pitchers to just do this back to the hitters.
Yeah, stop
strike them out.
Stop being mouthy and being mad and trying to plunk people. Just
yeah, this ain't golf.
No,
let's go, old men. Quit being get off my lawn, guys.
It's our national pastime for a reason. Let's make it our present time.
All right, let's get back to a break. When we return, we will get physical next on Cube Show. Welcome back in Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Every morning, we like to keep a certain mindset here on the show. Let you know who's hurt, who's healthy, who's getting beat up. We get physical. Mentioned to you yesterday about this heat wave that's apparently rolling through Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. Hot over there.
Temperature shooting towards 120 again yesterday.
That feels a lot.
That would be record-breaking. Fire crews are rushing to handle a surge in heat emergencies. Apparently, when it's over 110, your body cannot cool itself down. That sets up for heat strokes. So the city opened up 47 cooling centers across the valley yesterday, and about 50 flights had to be canceled.
It's too hot to fly?
Too hot for planes to take off.
If it's too hot for an airplane, it's too hot for me.
Apparently,
it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat. Planes like it.
Apparently, it was too hot to fly yesterday at Sky Harbor Airport. Across the Southwest, it's a scorcher-archy, Death Valley, California, 126. Palm Springs, 119. Tucson, 115. Vegas, 113. Yikes.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. It must be, if it's too hot to fly, it must be also too hot to fish. It must be too hot for golf. But you know what? It's probably too cold at home. Thank you, Mark Chestnut fans.
Now, it is scheduled to cool down today. Forecast calling for 113 today and 111 on Friday.
Bring a jacket. You're going to need it.
Much more cozy.
I love when people tell me to dress in layers, even when it's going to be warm. You're like, just dress in layers. Like,
layer up.
Here's the layer I'm wearing. My skin. That's the only thing I'm wearing that day. Color is a story that came out from AL.com yesterday that I thought was really cool from the Alabama Department of Labor also. I don't know if you knew this, but for the Alabama Workers' Compensation Act, we've sort of had a chance to sort of look now at how much it would cost if at your job you lost a body part. Like how much you would get. So
does it vary based on body part?
It does. It does. It's not the same for everything.
So if I lose half a pinky, it's not going to be as much as if I lose my left leg.
Or is it? We'll see what some of these prices are.
All right.
Cool. How much do you think you would get if at work you lost your hand?
Wow. Like lump sum payment or?
Well, the total you would get. One lump sum or payments up to.
$100,000.
$37,400.
Not worth it.
That's how much. By the way, Alabama is one of the lowest in the country as far as the payouts for these. Okay, then how about if you lost your foot? These are the max you can get. If you lost your foot at work.
Walking deemed to be more important by many than using your hands for things, so I'm going to say $55,000.
You would be close. $30,580.
Not enough.
That's just for the foot. What about an arm?
Well, if the hand was, 27?
The hand was 37.
37. The arm should be at least double that. So we'll say 75.
$48,840.
Not worth it at all.
Here's some more interesting ones. Like a thumb is worth $13,640. If you lost your pointer finger.
How many people are sitting around right now thinking, all right, this might be worth it.
How much do I need the thumb, really? Like, how much hitchhiking do I do? Not enough. Your pointer finger is worth just under $10,000, $9,460. Your middle finger, our most important finger, you would think, especially when you're Yasiel Puig. Well, if you lost both your middle fingers, you'd get about $13,000 because one middle finger is worth $6,820. So if you lost that finger, Cole, that's $6,800.
Wow.
Did you go without your middle finger? I got some more for you. Your ring finger is worthless, $4,840.
Worthless.
Your pinky finger is even worse, $3,520.
You can do without that one, I feel like.
What about your big toe? That's the coolest toe. That's the best toe out there.
I feel like it's also the most important toe. At least $15,000.
Close, $7,000.
No!
Any other toe, if you lose it? $2,400. Now I got a couple final interesting ones for you. If you lost
what a letdown this would be if this actually happened to you.
If you lost your entire leg, how much money do you think you could get from the Alabama Workers' Comp Act? An entire leg.
I'm gonna say just under $100,000.
It is just under $100,000 at $44,000.
Stop it.
Hey, what about if you lost your ears, both of them? Two ears.
$3,000.
$35,000.
What?
For both ears. That's got to be both, though. I'm sure there's a... What about if you lost your eye? Eye's pretty important.
Yeah, no, this needs to be like $500,000.
It is. $27,280.
Stop it.
If you lost one eye. Let's just put it this way. If you lost both your feet... It's $88,000. And any other body part, besides feet, legs, toes, like we've mentioned, any other body part that you lose that's not specifically listed on the state schedule, which is basically a lot of body parts, one I'm thinking of in particular, you can get no more than, if you lose your hillbilly down there, you cannot get any more than $66,000 for it.
This is disappointing.
Alabama is one of the lowest payout states as far as the number in the entire country. So can you imagine losing little Cole and only getting max 66 grand? And that's if a judge saw it your way?
Jeez.
That's not enough, man.
No, it's not. It really isn't. Phil Savage will join us next hour to talk Nick Saban screaming at Lane Kiffin. What caused it? Why did it happen? We'll talk about his new book at 7:40. Back with more Cube Show after this.